Joining us on the line right now, one of the brilliant minds behind the Birds 24/7 website, Sheil Kapadia. Sheil, how's it going tonight, man?
Hey, Sheil. Doing well. How's it going, guys?
Great. Excellent, excellent. First thing, before we get started, I know we have very serious Eagles news to talk about, but I have to ask you to dispel this rumor for us and for everybody out there in the Delaware Valley. There is no truth to the rumor that Chad Johnson is working out for the Eagles, correct?
No, yeah, and not that I know of. That would blow my socks off quite a bit if he was a guy they thought about bringing in right now. So I know he was tweeting some things earlier, but no, I don't think Chad Johnson is working out for the Eagles today.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, Sheil, I guess the two main, bullet points after two games are the turnovers and this defense. And you, on 24/7, you posted a video, I think encompassing the effect of what D'Amico Ryans has done. He said, don't let anything linger to Michael Kendricks. It's just to, give him some encouragement. Can you just explain, the effect that Ryans has had on this defense overall? And I guess, obviously, he was playing possum in the preseason.
Yeah, I'm someone who a lot of people talk about leadership quite a bit in sports and in football specifically, and I think at times it can get a little overrated if the guy who you want to be the leader is not playing at a high level. But D'Amico Ryans has been as advertised. When the Eagles acquired him from the Texans, you saw a lot of his former teammates kind of come out, whether it was social media or the reporters, radio programs, whatever, and they were really angry that the Texans gave up on this guy, that they were trading him. And really, from the beginning of training camp, he's kind of taken that defense over. He's been the leader. He's provided guidance to a lot of these younger players who are playing really well through the first two games. And I think the key with Ryan is that he's been a three-down linebacker. He's been very good in coverage in addition to all the plays we've seen him make in the run game. So he was on the field for all 70 snaps against the Ravens. And that's really how you can lead. When you're on the field the entire game, you can direct the guys in the huddle. You can answer questions. You can help Juan Castillo and the other coaches. And really, he's exceeded expectations by far to me through the first two games.
And, Sheil, in addition to Ryan's, another person was on the field for 70 snaps also. And I was shocked when I read this on your site. Michael Kendricks was on the field for 70 snaps. I mean, along with him and Brandon Boykin and Fletcher Cox, are you a little surprised about the immediate production they've gotten from these rookies? I know Boykin was, predicted to make a little bit of impact, but, I mean, he made two great plays on the last drive.
Absolutely. I just got done rewatching the defense today, and by my account, I think Brandon Boykin was targeted four times. He gave up one catch, and it was for 0 yards. It was a little bubble screen, so he didn't give up any yards in that game, which is amazing when you consider he was on Anquan Boldin quite a bit there in the slot, a veteran receiver who's had a lot of success in the league. So Boykin's been outstanding as the nickel corner there. Michael Kendricks, you mentioned it. I think if you had to pick one Eagles linebacker, the best one in coverage, I think it's Kendricks right now. He's all over these running backs, the tight ends and man-to-man coverage, and he's really has those cover skills, that speed, that athleticism. I think you saw it on the last play of the game. And the other guy you mentioned, Fletcher Cox, he played more snaps than any other defensive lineman. That includes Trent Cole, Cullen Jenkins, Jason Babbitt, those veterans. So Cox really put together a good game, I thought, specifically against the run. He's so athletic, and it looks like something might have clicked for him here in the past week or so, where he's going to make a big impact here in his first season.
And and speaking of guys that didn't make an impact in the rookie year, but is making one in a limited impact, is Brandon Graham. I saw that you had this great stat, he had four pass rushing attempts and made four hurries. Do you think the lights starting to go off for Brandon, or maybe it was just a combination of just injuries and getting over the microfracture that hindered him so far in his career? You think he could start improving as the weeks go on?
Yeah, it's been such a strange up and down for Graham. As a rookie, I think he had 3.5 sacks, and he was really second on the team in quarterback hurries. And if you go back, the guy he gets compared to all the time is Jason Pierre-Paul. Pierre-Paul had 4.5 sacks as a rookie. So it usually takes those pass rushers 2 years, maybe 3 years, to really figure out what they're doing and have that huge impact. And I think Brandon Graham got injured at the end of his rookie season last year. He was not doing the right things in terms of keeping himself in shape when he was rehabbing, and I think that really cost him quite a bit. But by all accounts, since the spring, going into the summer, training camp, preseason, he's really had this goal to make an impact this season, to kind of shed that label as a bust that some people have put on him. And you mentioned it, hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities, only played 9 snaps in the game Sunday. But, yeah, 4 times he had to rush the passer, and all 4 times he was credited with a hurry by the Eagles coaches. So that's not by me or by someone else. That's by the Eagles coaches. So certainly he's making the most of his opportunity. You got to appreciate that. And I think Phillip Hunt and Darryl Taft, the other second defensive ends with the second group, they really haven't done a lot in the first 2 games in terms of rushing the passer. So I think Graham's absolutely going to get a shot. I think it could come as soon as Sunday. I think you could see a significant increase in his playing time.
You know what? I'm glad to hear that, because I saw he didn't get, did he even get into the game at all against Cleveland? I mean, I don't want to keep harping on Graham, but he is a first-round pick, and it's just another guy that you can rotate into this, I'll call it, a very good defensive line. I mean, this defensive line is probably the strength of the team right now.
Absolutely. Deepest part of the team, most talented part of the team, and as the weeks go on, it's going to be the most productive part of the team. I know people sometimes get caught up with the sacks, and that's just one part of the equation. You got to look at what they're doing on a play-to-play basis. Offenses know how good this defensive line is, so they're going to try to get rid of the football with their quarterback. They're going to try to run screens. They're going to try to run the football against that wide 9. But yeah, the Eagles keep 9 defensive linemen active on game day. And what's been happening the first couple weeks is the defense has been so good, forcing all those 3 and outs or, you know, very short drives, that they haven't had to rotate all those defensive linemen maybe as much as they would have had to in the past, or as much as they'll have to when the defense is giving up some yards there. So I think Graham is going to certainly be part of that equation, and it'll be interesting to see how productive he can be going forward.
Yeah, after 2 games, everything hasn't been all good. I mean, it's just like it's the elephant in the room at this point, the 9 turnovers. Obviously, it can't continue. Am I a little too optimistic to think they can just correct this, immediately? Or do you think that there's a lot of work to be done to rectify these turnovers? Because honestly, Shield, Mike Vick could have had a couple more turnovers if the Ravens linebackers could catch.
Yeah, I think you got to look at the turnovers kind of on an individual basis, and there certainly are different types. You know, the first interception he had against the Ravens, that's just an inexcusable throw. He's rolling to his right. He's throwing across his body. He made the exact same mistake the week before against the Browns. And those are really the plays that you have to buckle down on. You got to say, well, I'm not going to make that throw. I'm just going to run with the football. I'm going to throw it away. Whatever. We're in scoring position. And I think those are the ones you really have to focus on. The other throw to Brent Celek, if you look at it, Brent Celek had Ray Lewis kind of on his back, and Michael Vick really has to put the football there in a tight spot. It wasn't necessarily a bad throw. It's just one of those things where it bounced off of Celek's fingertips and into the hands of Ed Reed. So some of those turnovers you can live with. You know, you're not going to be able to get away with not turning the football over at all when you throw as much as the Eagles do. But other little things, LeSean McCoy had 1 fumble and 273 carries last season. He's got 2 in 2 games, so he's got to certainly make sure he's taking care of the football. And then you saw the other one on the exchange to Bryce Brown. I think, to me, that was the case of a guy in Brown who really hasn't played a lot of football, maybe has not gotten a lot of reps with Michael Vick, and they put the ball on the ground. So I think it's reasonable to project that maybe a turnover like that in week 4 and week 5 is not going to happen. But with the way things have gone for this team looking back last year and the 2 games this season, you can't say it's only a 1-week thing, or, hey, if they get rid of the turnovers, they're going to be a great offense, because turnovers are part of what has defined them so far in 2011, 2012. So certainly something they got to cut down on if they truly want to be a great offense.
And also, Shield, another, I guess, bone of contempt, like a bone to pick by Eagles fans is the play calling. And I don't think it's that, I mean, I don't want to understate it, but in Andy Reid's offense, a screen is a handoff, I guess, per se. But in Sunday's game, the run-pass ratio was close to 50-50 as you're going to get from an Andy Reid team. And they ran Bryce. They even ran Stanley Avila a couple of times. Do you see them doing this a little more and, I guess, getting Brown in and maybe when they get Deion Lewis back? Or is Deion Lewis hurt right now?
It's interesting. You know, he had a hamstring injury, but he practiced last week and then was inactive on game day. And then Andy Reid said something like, you know, he had a little bit of a setback there. So he said Lewis is fine now. So I think this Sunday will be the real test. If he's inactive again, that says to me that he's just been passed by Bryce Brown and Chris Polk. But I kind of expect him to be active and get his first action on Sunday.
We're live with Sheil Kapadia of Burrs 24/7. Sheil, we were talking about injuries a second ago. In addition to the injury, hopefully now he's healthy, Deion Lewis, and the Jason Kelce injury, are there any other injuries of note going into the next week's game against the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think Jeremy Maclin is probably the other big one. He had that hip injury he sustained again on Sunday against the Ravens, so I think he's probably someone who's going to be questionable. We'll see if he's able to play. And on the left side, King Dunlap, he had a hamstring injury. So, again, he's someone who's also probably going to be questionable. If he can't go, it's going to be Demetrius Bell getting his first start of the season.
We saw the Eagles sign Steve Vallis today to replace Kelce, who was placed on the season-ending IR. Do you see any other, like, you know, with the Dunlap injury and everything with that, do you see the Eagles making any additional moves on the offensive line to give them a little bit of depth?
No, I think they're okay at left tackle. They've got Demetrius Bell, who I think they want as that reserve, and they've also got a rookie, Dennis Kelly, who actually saw some time at both tackle spots in the preseason. So right now there's not a ton of guys out there. You know, I think at the center position we're going to have to see if Dallas Reynolds is good enough, if he's not, if Steve Vallos is good enough. And maybe you could see in a few weeks if those guys are just, you know, utter disasters, maybe they make a move in a week or two. But I think the plan right now is to go with Reynolds and see how he does here in the next week against the Cardinals.
Just a couple more questions before we let you go. We have to talk to you about or get your opinion about the referees over these past two games. A number of Ravens came out after Sunday and said that the referees cost them a few plays on Sunday. From an Eagles perspective, how much of an effect have these replacement refs had on the Birds so far this year?
Yeah, it certainly had an effect, and you see it around the league with different calls being made or not made, and I think part of it certainly is mental, you know, and that the players know that these are replacement refs in there. So now when they see a blown call, it just angers them even more. Now, I think certainly there are more blown calls right now, and there's some chippiness. I thought in that Eagles-Ravens game, one thing that stood out to me was DeSean Jackson and the Ravens cornerback Terry Williams, after one play, were just going at it. I mean, throwing punches. Obviously, they had helmets on, so I never really understood that. But they're throwing punches, and the refs, you know, it took them quite a while to get over there and break it up. We saw it in the Monday Night Football game as well. And I just think if you're a league like the NFL, your popularity, you know, is at an all-time high. You're the most popular sport in America. And this is what people are talking about. You turn on any national radio program or TV show or, you know, go online today, and you're going to read about the refs or hear about the refs. And I just, you know, that's not what you want right now when you have so many good athletes, so many great storylines. That's kind of like a black eye on the league in 2012. So we'll see if anything comes of it here in the next few weeks.
And speaking specifically about the Eagles, I know it's still early in the year, but, you know, my co-host Chris over here, he's already, you know, behind the wheel of the bandwagon. Is it too early to start talking about the possible Super Bowl run with this team? Are we kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse right here?
Yeah, I hold off on that a little bit. You know, it's 2 1-point games here. Certainly it's good that they pulled them out. Those were games that they didn't pull out a year ago. But, you know, a different play here and there. You think about the Browns game. If the linebacker holds on to that Michael Vick interception in the end zone, Eagles are 0-1 yesterday. If the refs don't call that offensive pass interference when Nnamdi Asamoah got beat on that touchdown in the fourth quarter, who knows how that game ends. So it is crazy kind of how 2-3 plays throughout the course of a game really make that huge difference. So far, the Eagles have been on the positive side of those, but they still certainly have some things they got to tighten up here to be taken a little more seriously as a Super Bowl threat going forward.
But, Sheil, you'd agree that, I guess the makeup of this current team is a little better than last year's team. I don't know, maybe it's an extra year or maybe like some more leadership. It just seems like they didn't like last year. Last Sunday's game was the type of game they would have lost. Like they would have gotten pounded on the ground by Ray Rice and they would have folded. But it looks like they like kind of like dug down and like got the necessary stops. Like do you think that has to do with just having a D'Amico Ryans here and maybe like getting accustomed to having Juan Castillo call the defense?
Yeah, the new players have absolutely helped. We mentioned Ryan and we mentioned the rookies earlier. I mean, between Cox, Kendricks, Ryan, Boykin. Those are four new players that are all significant upgrades from what you had at those positions a year ago. So that's what you have to look at. Number one, we talked about Ryan's leadership. And in addition to Juan Castillo learning a little bit, learning how to delegate a little bit, Todd Bowles has come in, the new secondary coach, and really done a good job. I mean, you talk to the cornerbacks, and they just rave about the guy, how much they're learning from him in terms of technique, scheme, knowing what to do on a specific play. So I think those have been some big keys defensively, and that's really where all the positives or most of the positives have happened so far this season. From an offensive point of view, you know, DeSean Jackson is someone who you got to look at. His mind was not right last year. He did not play well. He dropped too many balls. He wasn't fully invested, and you saw that performance on Sunday. Michael Vick threw his way 8 times, and 7 of those were completions. Of course, we saw that 49-yard bomb down the right sideline. So DeSean Jackson is not just running that go route where he's going deep on every play. He's running some different routes and really helping this team offensively. It's not a mistake that Brent Celek was wide open on quite a few of those passes yesterday. Teams are still terrified of being beat by DeSean Jackson deep, and I think he's really had a strong start to the season.
And, Chiel, just before we let you go, you have everything going on with Birds 24/7. You have this show on 97.5 The Fanatic. For our fans out there who want to kind of keep in touch with everything that you do, just take a few minutes and just tell them how they can check you out on the radio and also online.
Yeah, there's a full rundown on Birds 24/7. You can get to it, phillymag.com/eagles. Our first post of the day goes up at 6:30 in the morning, and really it just continues throughout the day into the night. You can certainly follow me on Twitter, at Chiel Kapadia. We're on Facebook as well. We got facebook.com/birds247. So that's another avenue to reach us. And we got the radio show Monday nights, 6 to 7 p.m. From 360 at the Parks Casino in Bent Salem on 97.5 Birds 24/7 radio. Really have had a good time with that so far as well. So a lot of ways to saturate the marketplace with Birds 24/7 coverage so far.
We definitely enjoy your work on Birds 24/7, both on the radio and online, and we definitely enjoyed having you on the show tonight. Thanks, Chiel. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chiel.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, Chiel Kapadia of Birds 24/7, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more birds. You're listening to The Broad Street Line here on Blog Talk Radio.
Birds